Now, we want to note as we come to chapter 5, we're continuing now to see the effects of this great sermon that Simon Peter gave. And here in chapter 5, we are introduced to the first defection in the church. And it's followed by the death of Ananias and Sapphira. Now, we notice here, at least when we left off last time, we were introduced to a man by the name of Barnabas. And Barnabas will be before us again. He's one of the wonderful saints in the early church. A man of God, one of the first missionaries. He was the first partner of the Apostle Paul, and they went into the Galatian country, a difficult area, and yet God marvelously blessed their ministry there. Now, this man gave, apparently, quite a sum of money to the church. He made a generous contribution, and everyone was talking about it. I guess he received a great deal of publicity and a certain amount of notoriety about his generosity. Well, the early church, you see, they had things common. And this will reveal the fact that they were in a high spiritual level to be able to do this. But now the defection that comes in and it reveals why this couldn't continue and didn't continue, just simply because of the old carnal nature that is in mankind. Now, will you notice, it says, I'm reading now chapter 5, verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. It's obvious that they're imitating Barnabas. They saw that he got a certain amount of publicity. They thought it'd be nice if they got a certain amount of publicity. They wanted it. And I have found that there are people who give, and they give in order to be noted. I recall having a meeting years ago in Pasadena when I was a pastor here, called a meeting of certain businessmen to start a Youth for Christ movement. We started the first one on the West Coast here in Pasadena. And so at that meeting, we were going to ask folk to give. And then we decided that would not be public. But one man said, he said, now, a certain man, he'll not give unless you give him an opportunity to speak out publicly and let everybody know what he's giving. And it's quite interesting. This man, he gave a very small amount. He told someone later that he went to the meeting with the idea of giving about 10 times that amount. But he, see, expected to be able to stand up or raise his hand when I would ask, who will give $500? You see, that's still in human nature today. And that's the condition of Ananias and Sapphira. But they kept back a part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and they brought a certain part and they laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, there's nothing wrong with the fact that they kept back part of it. They had a right to do that. The property was theirs. We are today in the church, we're under grace. You're not constrained to give any certain amount. Somebody say a tenth. Well, this early church, they were giving everything. And these two, they kept back part of it. Now, they had a right to do that. Their problem, their sin was they lied about it. They said they'd given all when they had not given all. I don't like to have people sing a song that talks about putting my all on the altar. All on the altar I lay. Because I tell you, that makes a bunch of liars out of a great many people when you sing that song. We need to be very careful today. As we've said before, let's be careful about what we vow to the Lord. Ananias and Sapphira, their actions were perfectly legitimate. They had a right to sell it. They had a right to keep all of it if they wanted to. But they lied about it. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? Now, it wasn't the fact that he kept back part. He lied about it. That was the sin of this man and his wife. Whilst it remained was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. Now there are those today that deny that the Holy Spirit is God. But you notice Simon Peter thought so. In fact, he knew so. He says, first, Ananias, Satan's put it into your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. Now he says here, thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. The Holy Spirit is God, you see. Verse 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. Now there are those that today give Simon Peter credit, or they blame him, for the death of this man Ananias. I want to absolve him of this crime. Simon Peter was probably as much surprised as anyone when Ananias fell down dead. I don't think he knew what was going to happen to him at all. Do you know who struck him dead? God did it. You want to bring charges against God? Why don't you call up the FBI and tell them that God is guilty of murder? Well, may I say to you, if you can give life, you have a right to take it away. This is God's universe. We are God's creatures. We breathe His air. We are using His body that He gave us. And my friend, He can take it any time He wants to. And who's going to question Him? You can call up the FBI all you want to, but it won't do you better good, because they're not going to be able to arrest him. He's not guilty of a crime. God, though, was the one responsible for the death of Ananias and Sapphira. Now, they fall down dead. Verse 6 now of chapter 5 of Acts, and the young man arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Now Simon Peter knows what's going to happen to her. He did not know what was going to happen to Ananias, but it's quite obvious what will happen to this woman. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, yielded up the ghost, and the young man came in, found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Now, the thing about this that amazes me is the fact that a lie such as these two were living could not exist in the early church. The church was so holy, so spiritual, that the liar to God could not stay in the church. Now, that's different also than today. Simon Peter had a spiritual discernment also that was amazing. That also is lacking today. I was very much amused that a young man came to me in a Bible class not long ago, and he said to me, and he did it with a little embarrassment, he said he had the gift of discerning of spirits. He said he could tell error. And then he quoted one of the worst heretics that there is today. I was rather amused at it. I questioned him again. I said, you really feel like you have the gift of discerning of spirit? You know truth from error? Oh, yes, said he did. I said, do you approve of the man that you've just quoted? Oh, yes. Well, then I said, I don't believe you have the gift. You just think that you have the gift. Now, the early church had it, and this could not exist. Now, today, if they were dropping down dead who lied to God today in the church, I'm telling you, we'd have a lot of funerals. The undertakers would really do a land office business. But they get by today. The worst kind of a hypocrite can get by today, and in our Bible churches. They're not good at coming to Bible study. They don't like that, I've discovered, but they really can exist in the church and do. Now, will you notice here, these Christians were not living on the high spiritual level of the early church. That is Ananias and Sapphira. Although they were saved, when they lied to the Holy Spirit, they are removed from the company of believers. They committed the sin unto death. There is, John says, a sin unto death. They committed it. Now, the amazing thing, and I repeat it, is that this sin could not exist in the early church. That was the holiness of life in the church. And Peter was just as much surprised as anyone when Ananias fell down dead. And the power, though, will continue in the early church. And multitudes are saved. But the church will never be as pure after this experience as it was before. Before, they had all things common. This just about ruined it. And we'll see what is coming in the next chapter. Now, will you notice? The apostles will exercise the apostolic gifts. Now, I'm reading beginning at verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Now do you note that it is the apostles who have the gifts of healing, the gifts of miracles. They have the sign gifts. They did many signs, and they did it among the people. Verse 13, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Many were being saved. Verse 14, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. It's quite obvious that there were, by 300 A.D., there were literally millions in the Roman Empire that had turned to Christ. Verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. Now, the multitudes do this, shall I say, the ignorant multitude, the mob does this. Simon Peter wasn't going around casting shadows. That's a business he was not in. The crowd thought, since they had such power, that if he'd just get in the shadow of the man, that there'd be something. That's superstition, of course. Simon Peter didn't do this. Verse 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. May I say, compare that to modern faith healers. They never heal all of them. Have you ever noticed that? The apostles had sign gifts, friends. No one else since then in the church has had those gifts. And when they heal everybody. They emptied the hospital. And this was the power of the early church. You see, they have no New Testament at this time. Not a book has been written at this time. And the authority must rest now with the apostles. Paul said that the church is built upon Jesus Christ. He's the chief cornerstone, and upon the apostles. They were witnesses of these things. Now, will you notice the apostles exercising these gifts? We are told in verse 17 here, then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees. You notice that now? The Sadducees are still leading in the persecution. It was the Pharisees that led the persecution against Jesus. It's the Sadducees that led the persecution against the early church. And they were filled with indignation. They laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. So now the apostles are arrested for the second time and they're put in prison. Now, will you notice? But an angel of the Lord, not the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, was none other than the pre-incarnate Christ. But now he's the man in the glory. He's up at God's right hand, and he's the one that's doing all of this. That's the important thing to note. And today, he's got paralyzed hands and feet down here in this world in the church because they're not moving for him. I tell you, he wants to move today through his church, and he wants to move through you and me if we'll permit him. So here it's an angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. When they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came and they that were with him and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors, but when we had opened, we found no man within. And friends, that happened at the resurrection of Christ. The stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out. He was out before the stone was rolled away. The stone was rolled away to let those out in, just as it took place here. And when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Now verse 25, then came one and told them, saying, behold, the man whom ye put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers, brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. These men are being listened to now, you see. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in this name? And behold, you fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intent to bring this man's blood upon us. Why, you have filled Jerusalem. They were good witnesses. They were real missionaries in Jerusalem. The gospel was to go out to Jerusalem, and it has. Verse 29, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than man. We're not doing this to obey you, we're obeying God. Verse 30, the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. And I have you note that he was hanged on a tree, and I can't go into that. I have a little book, many of you have it. The cross was never called a cross as we think of it today, an upright with a cross piece, a cross bar. It was just a piece of wood stuck up. It was a tree, and that's the word for it. Verse 31, him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel, forgiveness of sins. The message is still going now to the nation Israel in Jerusalem. Verse 34, then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little pace. They excused the apostles now. He said, I'd like to speak to the Sanhedrin. He was the teacher of the apostle Paul, by the way, an outstanding man, this man Gamaliel. And he said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. What ye intend to do is touching these men. For before these days rose up Thutis, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this, man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, drew away much people after him, he also perished, and all even as many as obeyed him were dispersed. Now, he gives examples, you see. He said, don't persecute these men, because this will come to naught. Verse 38, listen to him. Now I say unto you, refrain from these men. Let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it'll come to naught. He's given sage advice. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. This is remarkable, by the way, and time proved that this was of God, of course. Verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And friends, if the men are innocent, then they should be let go. If they're guilty, they ought to hold them and punish them, not beat them and let them go. This was a sorry subterfuge, by the way. That is the problem today, that gray line between guilt and not guilt. The courts today letting them off by giving some light sentence. My friend, if they're guilty, they should be punished. If they're not guilty, they should be let go. They don't need a light sentence. That's no good. How foolish we are today. And this is what they did then. They should have listened to Gamaliel a little more carefully. Now, verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Just look at these apostles. Aren't they marvelous? They're rejoicing that they could suffer. And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Friends, what is the gospel? It's Jesus Christ. It's a person. Oh, how important it is today to have him. Do you have him? You either have him or you don't. You either trust him or you don't trust him. He's either your Savior or you don't have a Savior. That's what we've learned so far.